right. 122 and an eighth. Huh? 122 and an eighth? Terrific. Where the heck is 122 and an eighth?
You're standing on it, dude.
What?
Just slip it down here.
Huh?
Give me that.
Hey, this is a 10. The tab's 13.
You're 2 minutes late, dude.
Aw, oh, come on. I couldn't find the place.
Wise man say, forgiveness is divine, but never pay full price for late pizza.
I gotta get a new route. And I thought I'd deliver it everywhere.
I'm Drew.
And I'm John.
And you're listening to The Hourchive,
our ever-growing library of everything, 1 hour at a time.
This is an important show. It's very important. This topic, we're talking about something that shaped me as a person, something that heavily influenced my life in many ways, perhaps in ways that have yet to come to light. And looking back, it also had a big influence on society and the way that marketing and toys and the sort of juggernaut that is child consumerism. I mean, I think this had a real hand in the way that people learn you could market to kids. Would you agree with that? Not the first.
Now that you've got me thinking.
Oh no.
Now that you've really...
You thought I was going to start on a fluff.
Man, I thought you were going to go full in, nunchuck swinging.
Yeah.
Just...
But I'm digging into the...
Wow. God, we're already... Of it first. Man, it's like you...
Should we back up? Do you want to start?
It's like you just jumped headlong right into the ooze.
Well, let's back up a bit. We'll get back to that. Maybe it's not fair to jump right into that. Let's start over a bit.
Start at the beginning, man.
The Ninja Turtles, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. First a comic, then a cartoon, then a movie, then a band, then another cartoon, then a live-action television show.
Don't forget the toys.
Toys pervasive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Since the cartoon, there have always been toys. You had another cartoon in the 2000s. You had a live-action television show. And... now we've got another new series coming up that's starting, I think, in September.
Pwah.
The Ninja Turtles, you know, they work. They seem to continue to work for kids.
They work hard for the money.
I guess I mean they're entertaining to kids. I don't mean they continue to get work. But they do.
They do, man.
In 1984.
God, was it that long ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I was actually kind of surprised by that, too. 1984, Kevin Eastman, Peter Laird, apparently were just, like, sketching for fun. Like, not even for no serious reason, just kind of, like, throwing ideas around. I suppose as you do. When... I believe, I can't remember which one did it, but one of them drew, you know, just four turtles as ninjas. The first issue, I think they wrote it as like a parody of Daredevil. Splinter was a joke on Daredevil's mentor, which was called Stick.
Are you serious?
That's what they say.
He had a mentor named Stick.
I've never... He's so angry. I've never looked that up. Like, I never fact checked that. But,
awful.
But I think that's what they claim.
Well, they deserve to. That it, yeah. Stick deserves to be mocked.
And those early comics were almost noir ish. you know, and gritty.
A lot of ink.
Serious. Yeah, a lot of ink. And then they got offered this deal to make the cartoon.
What do you think was going through their minds when, like, I mean, this thing was created as a lark, you know?
Yeah.
And then somebody's like, hey, we're going to make a cartoon out of this.
Well, and I think it became successful as a comic first, mm-hmm. you know? I think people were like, hey, this is good. You should, you know, keep making these mm-hmm. sort of thing. And even then, I'm sure they were like, well, it was a joke, you know? But it was successful. But
they were also probably like, well, yeah, we're poor.
Yeah, exactly. They're struggling comic artists. So I'm sure, you know, of course, if people want more, they'll make more.
Yeah.
But yeah, then they get offered this, you know, cartoon deal. Who knows what they expected? I'm sure they couldn't have expected what happened.
No.
Because that cartoon came out and it just exploded. I mean,
do you remember your first exposure to it?
Yes.
I don't. So you better tell me about yours.
I don't know that I remember the actual, like, scenario. I just remember watching it for the first time and thinking that it was the greatest thing that I'd ever seen. I thought it was so funny was the one thing. And I don't know that... This would have been, I guess, 89, mm-hmm. I think, is when the cartoon debuted. Maybe late 88, but I think it was 89.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, you know... 7 or 8 years old. And it was the first time that I can remember really connecting with something comedically, like thinking, wow, this is funny, you mm-hmm. know? And like, I want to be funny. Like, this is funny, you know? And I especially felt in sync with Raphael. His sort of sarcastic wit, you know, and in almost every incarnation apart from that cartoon, he is not like that. He's much more the hothead.
Yeah.
And for the cartoon, they made him sort of the sarcastic one. And I loved, you know, and I would always be confused and on other iterations of Raphael, because like, why is he so mad?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't make sense to me because I was exposed to it through the cartoon.
Right.
But anyway, I really, really loved it. And I remember years and years later after, you know, I was much older, maybe in my early 20s, I came back to it and I watched that first episode again. And there were so many moments that just like flooded me with nostalgia of remembering these lines being spoken. There's one moment in particular where they're fighting the Foot Clan for the first time, and the Foot Clan in the cartoon are all robots. You know, they're all they look like people until you beat them up enough, and then you see the circuitry exposed. And in particular, there's a scene where they're fighting them, and this is when they first learn that they're robots. And Raphael hits one of them and it makes a clanging noise
mm-hmm.
and he says, clang? Did you just say clang? And I just can remember as a kid laughing, you know, like finding hilarity in that line. And so watching again when I was like in my 20s, I was like, whoa, that became so fresh in my head of remembering how I felt when I watched it. And I can remember, you know, when it was first becoming big, going and playing Ninja Turtles with my friends and demanding that I be Raphael and, you know, on the playground and just running around. I mean, I dove headfirst into the mania of Ninja Turtles and everything that I could find that had anything to do with Ninja Turtles, I wanted. Anything, absolutely anything. It was all, and so this is where I was gonna go at the very beginning of the conversation, when I still don't think we should go there yet, but the way they permeated child culture, you know, was, I think it was unprecedented. The scale.
Yeah, I think
the fervor, perhaps, The and I think maybe one might cite Star Wars as as getting there first, but I would argue that while Star Wars may have gotten there first, I don't think it would be near the level, the scope that the Turtles did.
I think
as far as like the breadth of available products.
I think Star Wars built the engine, but the, the engine was in place and ready to fire when the Turtles came along. Like, I feel like a lot of phenomena that come along like that, you know, that are spread out across all these different channels. I feel like a lot of times we're not prepared for them. The ones that really hit are usually the ones that nobody's expecting to hit.
Yeah.
And the most recent example I can think of is Pirates of the Caribbean. When that movie came out, I remember everybody wanted to be Jack Sparrow and everybody wanted a pirate t-shirt and everybody wanted, you know, they like wanted to have a fervor, you know?
Right.
And there was nothing, you know, there was nothing to be had.
Right.
Because they didn't expect it to be that big a hit, or they weren't prepared for it to be that big a hit, you know? But with the Turtles, I think what set them apart from things were that like they were prepared for that to take over. And it, you know, it obviously did. I don't know that I don't know. It's hard for me to say, like,
see, I wonder if they were prepared. I don't know that they knew what was going to happen. Perhaps they had planned for the contingency.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was, they were, it was the right time, right place where they were able to put those wheels in motion very easily. They were poised for that kind of success.
You could get anything with Ninja Turtles on it.
Yeah.
Practically anything.
Yeah. Do you remember, did you have a favorite?
Oh, an item?
Piece of paraphernalia that you...
Like apart from
really,
the toys,
really liked,
You know, I loved my bed sheets. I had Ninja Turtle bed sheets, and I thought they were the coolest thing. Yeah, that was probably my number one. But I had a lunchbox. I had underwear. I had anything that they put a Ninja Turtle on. I wanted.
You had it.
You know what? One of the best items is were the pies. The
the fruit pies or the hostess pies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never, I don't think that hostess or whoever has ever come close to that Ninja Turtle one, which was like just cream. I mean, it was horrible for
you. Yeah, yeah. It's like 400 calories of lard.
A bite.
Yeah.
But it was phenomenal.
Did you ever have the ice cream bars?
Yeah.
They had like the ice cream bars. Those were good too.
The ones that you get on the ice cream truck?
Yeah.
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 With the gumball eyes?
Yeah.
That's always a bad idea in my opinion. We're here with the cast show to make it a surprise. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Pie. Fresh from the sewers to you. Their minds are delicious. You know that's true. Because they're filled with mutagen goo. That's vanilla pudding goo. They've got the tastiest, flakiest, greatest crust. Even better than our pizza. And it's green. Like us. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Pie. Fresh from the sewers to you. Radically sweet. It can't be beat. And there's a free turtle sticker inside. That's me. New from Boston. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Pie. Which was your favorite turtle? Did you have a favorite? Did you watch the show? Were you a Ninja Turtle fan, or did you like prefer the Street Sharks?
I was a fan.
Yeah.
I was not I was not a full-on enthusiast.
Okay.
I was a fan of the show. I watched the show. I enjoyed the show.
Yeah.
I had the toys. I enjoyed the toys.
Good toys.
What I liked about it, and this was the thing, I think. I don't know that I can give all of the credit to the Turtles, because I think The Simpsons had something to do with it, too. But this was like a period where irreverent characters sort of became really popular. And I think that's what I found appealing about the Turtles. I loved the idea that they were obsessed with pizza.
Yeah.
You know, I just loved that.
Yeah.
And I loved the idea that they lived in the sewer.
Yeah.
You know, which is totally like, it was a break from the norm of traditional like kids cartoons, you know, wherein they were always in Voltron, they were this freedom force in a castle with a princess and these high-tech lions. And He-Man was this, you know, prince. Otherworldly figure, prince.
Lived in a castle.
Superhuman strength.
He had a cowardly lion.
He did have a cowardly lion.
And a battle cat.
But he transformed into a triumphant
lion.
Yeah. You know, so there were all these characters that were like these ridiculously highfalutin,
revered.
Yeah. They were highly respected characters. Mm-hmm. And then you get the turtles, who are hiding from society, living in the sewer.
Teenagers.
They're teenagers, which is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, you know, mutated by toxic waste or whatever, which was also a big thing in the 80s.
Yeah.
Especially around that period.
Oh, yeah.
And that was awesome, too. Like, I love toxic waste. And so I liked that element of it. And that's what got me into it. And I loved the slime. I mean, the ooze. You know?
Yeah.
I loved that whole conceit. And I loved that was the element of the toys that I really loved.
Yeah.
Was playing around. Like, I had the sewer playset.
Yeah.
I loved that. And the pizza thrower. Yeah. I loved how it was very, all their stuff felt, what's the word? It was like reclaimed.
Yeah.
Made, you know, like they had built things out of Donatello junk. Had built things out of junk.
He found in the sewer, most likely.
Yeah. Of course. I'm sure he found that lair. Yeah. I loved that element of it.
Yeah.
But my favorite character was not one of the turtles.
Okay.
Can you guess who it was?
Let me ask you if it was a mutant.
No.
Okay. Oh man, I don't know.
Casey Jones.
All right.
Love Casey Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, loved him in the cartoon, loved him in the movie.
Oh, he's great in the movie.
What a badass character.
I was Casey Jones for Halloween a few years ago.
Nice.
I bought a Casey Jones mask, a specific Casey Jones.
They exist?
In fact, I have two of them.
What?
Because the first one didn't show up in the time that the guy said it would. And I wrote him. I was like, hey, this thing hasn't shown up. And he said, I'll send you another one. And they ended up both coming. So I've got two.
So you put one on the back of your head and one on the front?
Yeah, Casey Jones, man.
He's a great
character.
He's a
bruiser.
Yeah.
He's a vigilante in the truest sense of the word.
I like that.
My favorite was Raphael,
mm-hmm.
as I mentioned before. But I liked all the turtles. I liked all of the characters.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. Bebop and Rocksteady. First of all, awesome names.
Loved Bebop and Rocksteady, yeah.
They got dumber after they became mutants. In the first episode of the cartoon, you see them before they become mutants. And Bebop's like a punk rocker guy.
They're just, cretins.
Yeah, and Rocksteady's just sort of a bruiser.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're not as dumb, though. When they get changed into mutants from that point forward, they're idiots. They're so stupid. I was going to say something in relation to the toys. You know, I had as many toys as I could get my hands on, you know, as many as my parents would get me. And in particular, I also had the sewer playset, and I wanted the Technodrome.
Oh, yeah.
So the Technodrome was Krang's
and
Shredder's moving lair.
And correct me if I'm wrong, they are not in the comics, right? They were created for
Shredder
the
was in the comic, definitely.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, Shredder
Krang
was, but Krang
might
wasn't.
Have been. There were aliens in the comic, if I remember correctly, but I can't be sure.
But you wanted the Technodrome.
Yeah, because they had the playset, the Technodrome playset. It looked awesome, and I begged for it, you know, and I was like, can I please have this? And my parents said, you'll have to buy this one yourself. So you will have to make the money doing chores and then you can buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay. And, you know, I was doing chores as much as I could and it wasn't happening quick enough. You know, every day I'm like, oh, I still don't have enough money for it. Mm. And I think my parents sensed my anxiety, you know, the fact I felt that it wasn't going quick enough, that I was doing all I could. So I think what ended up happening was I made enough for half the price of it in chores.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, we will go get it. We'll go buy it today. But you can't play with it.
Oh, wow.
Or maybe I'm getting this wrong. Maybe it was, maybe before I did, maybe it was more like, we'll go buy it today, but you have to make the money to pay for it, and you can't play with it until you do.
Ah.
I think that's what it was. So they went and they bought it.
Oh.
I think it was like 30, 50 bucks,
mm-hmm.
maybe. And they put it in my room. I think this is what they did. I think I remember this right. They'll correct me if I got it wrong. I'm pretty sure they put it in my closet, like top shelf, uh-huh. so I could see it. And I could get to it, too, if I wanted to, but I wouldn't break the rules. They knew that. But basically, I couldn't play with it until I made the money back. And it was so, such torture to have it there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You could see it every day. And then I think I made enough for half of it. You know, I made half the price, and mm-hmm. then they let me play with it. I think that's what ended up happening.
That's a pretty good compromise.
Yeah.
That's a good deal. And you know what? Like that, I like that over the, well, you make the money, and then we'll come back and get it.
Yeah.
Because what if it wasn't there?
You yeah. know?
What
and if it was gone? Also, a kid's, as a kid, it's all about immediacy. You know,
yeah.
you need it then. And so it sort of satisfies that in a way.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
as the kid, you're like, nah, I know I've got it. I've got it. You know,
yeah,
it's here
yeah.
in my house.
I can't play with it, but I've got
it. But I've got it. I just have to, you know, get that money. So it probably satisfied me to some degree that I knew it was guaranteed that I would play with that, you know.
Did it live up
oh, yes.
to your hopes?
Okay. Absolutely.
Good. I was worried you were going to be like,
no,
and then
no.
I learned a valuable lesson about
No, it totally lived up to my hopes. And you know what it did? It's actually kind of strange thinking back. It connected to the sewer playset. So there was a portion of it that you could basically lock into the sewer playset. And it doesn't make a lot of sense for it to do that, but it did. Man, I remember that sewer playset. Wow, it was so cool.
I really wanted it to. I wanted them to sell more
yeah,
sewer pipes.
Yeah.
Like I wanted it to go on and on
yeah,
and on. Yeah.
It had that little the power lines. They could swing on them.
Yeah.
And I think it had a little sewer elevator, didn't it?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Man, what a great. That's the thing. They were really smart about the toys, the vehicles, the playsets. That's the turtle van.
Yeah.
The turtle blimp.
Oh, man, I forgot about the turtle blimp.
That
yeah.
thing was incredible.
It was great. I got that for my birthday one year. And it was impossible to reconnect the...
yeah.
You know, they made a big deal about how, like, the bottom piece... The
you
little,
could cabin, decouple it from the blimp. Could,
yeah, but, man, it was impossible to refasten it to the blimp. You had to deflate the blimp in order to get it to reconnect. I remember that.
It was great. And all these things appeared in the cartoons. That was the great thing. A lot of times... toys would be made that didn't really occur in the cartoon. And eventually that did happen with Ninja Turtles, that they started just pumping out toys that never appeared in the cartoon. Not that anyone was complaining.
Right, sure.
But early on, these were things that showed up in the cartoon in a big way.
Did you have a favorite toy?
It might have been that sewer playset.
It's pretty bad.
That thing was so great. They did this thing, you know, with the turtles where they would release various versions of the turtles, you know. Mm-hmm. It would be like the Halloween Monster Turtles
or I remember those.
The Extreme Sport Turtles or you know, like there's tons of.
Do you remember like they were like secret disguise, like there was like Private Eye Donatello.
There was one where they were all sports. One of them, you know, they each had a sport that they were involved in.
And those never appeared in the show.
No, not
right?
in any real, not like that. I mean, there may be an episode where they were, you know, dressed up as something, but but they had a really great sort of side character universe as well, with like Ace Duck.
Yeah.
Usagi Yojimbo, who was its own property.
Yeah. Was he also Eastman and Laird?
I don't think he was.
Okay.
I think it's a guy named Steven something. Steven Silver? No, not Steven Silver. I forget. I think it starts with an S, but
somebody's yelling at us right
now. Yeah, I know. But it was, I believe that was its own property, perhaps before the Turtles, but they linked up, you know. It made sense to have those two together.
Which is awesome. Like, I didn't recognize it at the time, but thinking back on it, it's like, that's badass. Yeah.
You had Wingnut and Screwloose, which were villains.
Oh, yeah.
They were a bat and a mosquito.
Yeah.
Baxter Stockman, the fly mutant.
Fly guy, yeah.
Oh, he's so awesome.
The Rat King.
Leatherface. Is that his name? Leatherface?
I think so.
He was a crocodile or alligator or whatever.
Leatherneck,
I think is right.
Leather something. Alligator guy. Crocodile guy.
Yeah. There was a manta ray guy. He showed up later.
The neutrinos,
yeah, they were aliens.
Yeah, they had that flying Cadillac.
Yep,
that like 57 they Cadillac were jerks. Or whatever. They were jerks, but they had
they were supposed
flying
to be like
50s. Cadillac.
They were like 50s teenagers
from another planet or another dimension, right?
Dimension X.
Yeah,
which is where Krang was from.
They were from the same dimension?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Krang, that was a good toy.
Krang was great.
I never had that toy. I had Krang. Krang was that, you know, the little pink brain guy.
Yeah, and he had his little
walker,
mechanical
legs,
walker thing. Yeah.
Like
but
with
then
a
there was
bubble
also
top.
The big
yeah, the
human
guy
body suit or whatever.
Where he sat in the stomach.
Yeah, I never had that one.
I didn't have that either, but that's pretty good.
Let's talk about Shredder, man.
Oh, Shredder.
What a badass villain.
In some respects, he is.
Oh.
In the cartoon, he's a kind of a loser.
He's bumbling, yeah.
Voiced by Will Smith's father in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's the voice of Shredder for the cartoon. But yeah, like, and I think at one point, Eastman or Laird were describing like how that came about, how the character came about, and they had, one of them had like picked up a cheese grater or something and like slid it onto their hand. And been like, man, this would make a really gnarly kind of weapon, you know? And so then they drew this character that just had blades all over him. Mm-hmm. And that was Shredder. And he is an imposing figure. He is awesome in the movie.
Yeah.
He is really great.
They do right by Shredder in the movie.
Yeah. And then he becomes Super Shredder in the second movie. He's like this behemoth. He's mutated by the ooze.
Yeah. I forgot all about
that. And he's just got sharper edges. He's taller. Like I said, that show really, and the Turtles in general, really formed a lot of my of who I am. You know, it had a real hand, first of all, in the type of comedy that I enjoyed. You know, it put me on a certain path. But the Turtles is where I found an interest in drawing, you know, which is a huge part of my life now. I wanted to be able to draw them, you know, and so I would practice drawing them over and over. I wanted to be really good at drawing them. And, you know, at the time, I don't know that I ever really was good at drawing them then, you know, but they were absolutely the reason that I got into drawing. And so that's a huge... huge influence on
somewhat
me.
Significant,
yeah.
So you owe Eastman and Laird royalties, right?
Well,
for you
I
know.
Think they're fine money wise.
On the half shell, they're the heroes for. In this day and age, who could ask for more? The crime wave is high, with muggings mysterious. All police and detectives are furious, cause they can't find the source of this lethally evil force. This is serious, so give me a quarter. I was a witness, get me a reporter. Call April O'Neill in on this case. Hey, you better hurry up, there's no time to waste. We need help, like quick on the double. Have pity on the city, man, it's in trouble. We need heroes like the Lone Ranger. When Tonto came pronto, when there was danger, they didn't say we'd be there in half an hour, cause they displayed turtle power.
Power.
that movie came out, I can, again, like, I feel, I hope this isn't a boring episode because I'm just like recounting memories that only really matter to me, but I can remember my dad calling me into the living room because in an issue of Premiere magazine,
oh yeah,
they had a photo of the Ninja Turtles, the costumes, the guys in the costumes. And at this point, I had no idea there was a movie coming. And my dad just like called me in the living room and he's like, they're making a Ninja Turtles movie. And he showed me this picture and I couldn't believe it. I was so incredibly excited, like awestruck by it was real. You know, there's a photo of actual Ninja Turtles, and I just could not contain myself. I was so excited. And that
right, to pretend that you're your dad.
You're going to be me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Andrew, come here.
What? What? What's up?
Looks like they're going to make a Ninja Turtles movie.
I don't believe you.
Take a look at this.
What? I don't believe it. Unbelievable. Take it away. I don't believe it.
It's real.
No, it can't be real.
That's the Ninja Turtles.
I don't believe it. Why do you lie?
No, it's real. I believe it. I couldn't. It was. And the funny thing was, that was like 2 years before the movie came out.
Yeah.
That this photo was floating around. And I was, and I at one point thought, are they ever going to make that movie? Like, I can remember thinking, what was that not real? Seriously, I was worried, you know?
I knew it. I knew it. It was a lie. This world is full of lies.
But then it came out, you know, the trailers and everything, and I was so pumped. I couldn't wait, man. I was like, this is going to be the best thing that has ever happened to anyone. My mom took me to see it, right? Mm-hmm. And we're in line to go into the theater. And have I told this story before on the show?
I don't know.
Man, I hope not. I may have, and I apologize if I have. But we are in line to see the movie, and the theater's emptying from the last viewing, right? Mm-hmm. And the people are coming out. And this kid comes out with his parents or whatever, and he says, Raphael died. And I was devastated. For one thing, and I didn't know it then because I didn't know the term, but that was a major spoiler.
Yeah, it's huge.
First of all, right? So that was that upset me, and I didn't know why yet, but I did know that it upset me. But Raphael was my favorite. And so I was really worried going into that movie, and we're watching the movie, and there's a scene where Raphael is up on the rooftop of April's apartment building, and he's getting beat up by the foot, and basically it looks like he's killed. I mean, it looks like he's beaten to death.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh my God, he's dead.
That kid was right.
They can't.
I don't believe it. That's what that kid walks by and he's like, they killed Raphael. And you're like, I don't believe it. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Luckily, spoiler, he doesn't die. He's just knocked out really bad.
Yeah.
Do
you think that kid left too early? Do you think
he maybe. Yeah, maybe he fell asleep after that point.
This is an exciting movie.
Wake up, it's time to go. I can't believe they killed Raphael. Yeah, that movie changed my life. It was so good.
Now, were you into them before the movie, right?
Yeah.
So this just accelerated this just, it.
Yeah, increased it. And I still think that movie holds up.
I kind of do as well. I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen it, but I think it holds up better than it has any right to. How about that?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like, I mean, point. Being what it is, you know.
Well, they definitely, you know, they didn't, they approached it from the, with the tone of the original comic.
Uh-huh.
You know, more serious, gritty. It's got moments of slapstick and comedy
there's
in there
humor.
For sure. But it's much darker.
It's not a cartoon. I mean,
no,
it's more
no,
of a
no,
comic
no.
book movie than it is a
yeah,
cartoon
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's a... There are real emotions happening.
Yeah.
The turtles are treated as people, you know?
Yeah. And they're vulnerable, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which I think is a big thing.
And the... I think it's...
I mean, Raphael dies!
I think Jim Henson's company was behind the suits, which were amazing. And I think they hold up really well. I think... You know, the puppetry of the mouths is a little stilted.
Yeah.
When compared to what they can do these sure. days. But it's still, I mean, those are really good.
It's convincing.
Suits.
Yeah. And it's there. It's real. Like you.
Absolutely.
Real fabrication.
The sequels don't hold. I mean, they hold up for me, the sequels, because I have a really, you know, special place in my heart for them. But I think as movies. Just apart from any nostalgia,
mm-hmm.
the second and third movies don't really, especially the third one, mm-hmm. don't hold up the way that the first one does.
Yeah.
The way that, you know, I think anyone could watch that first movie
yeah.
and probably enjoy it. The other two, not as much. Because the second one definitely followed in the footsteps of the cartoon.
Yeah.
And it was a cartoon.
Yeah.
And that was from what I understand, that was very... purposeful
conscious decision.
I think the studio was not pleased with the seriousness of the first one for whatever reason, mm-hmm. and they wanted to capitalize on the cartoon, and so the tone of that movie is much lighter, much more in line with the cartoon. I still like it a lot, but it doesn't feel as like, I don't know, like you can. And I'm extremely biased, but I feel like you can look at that first movie as if there had been no cartoon, that could have been really successful.
Yeah,
as a property, as a movie, you know.
Yeah,
it is
stands on its own.
Yeah, it's a well-made movie. And I've seen it recently. I saw it in the theater. They did a midnight showing.
Oh yeah,
and that was pretty cool to see that in the theater. But yeah, they did the two sequels. The second movie is very cartoony. Third movie is also very cartoony when they go in the past.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think I ever saw that.
You know, I liked it,
but
I liked anything that they did at the time. And then the turtles died down for a while. Not long. But it was into the cartoon ran into the early 90s. I actually am somewhat ashamed to admit this. I actually sort of stopped watching. At a certain point, it became very much about the aliens that like Krang and that stuff. And like Shredder was no longer the villain. There was some other guy. And I just couldn't keep up. And I actually got more into the comics, not the original comics, but there was a series based on the cartoon that came out that was actually really took some interesting turns. And I can remember there was this really awesome story arc where the turtles were kidnapped by this giant cow head. His name was Cowlick. I think this floating cowhead.
I like it.
That like basically ate them, like took them in his mouth and brought them to another planet where it was basically like an arena planet. And they were forced to compete in these arena challenges. And I really loved it because they all got these costumes that they had to wear because they
gladiatorial
were gladiatorial
costumes.
And Leonardo had this sort of samurai-esque, but like samurai mixed with futuristic kind of trappings. Michelangelo and Donatello's were very wrestling-esque, like World Wrestling Federation type stuff. Mm-hmm. And then Raphael had the best one. It was just a full bodysuit that was all black. So it's kind of like the Spider-Man.
Like a traditional ninja.
Like the black kinda spider suit. Oh, okay. But his, I mean, all you could see were his eyes, I think. And it looked so cool. And so they, you know, there's this whole storyline where they're on this other planet and they're trying to get back. And eventually they managed to get back via that space cow. And when they get back to Earth, you know, they start wearing their regular clothes, in quotes, again. Except Raphael kept wearing the black suit.
Nice.
Like, yes.
Just like Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly. I just thought it was so cool. But yeah, the Ninja Turtles, you know, after the early mid-90s, they kind of, you know, I mean, the fan base for it, they were growing up.
Yeah.
And so there was less interest, I think. So they kind of went quiet for a while. But then in the early 2000s, a new series came out, another cartoon. And this one had a more adult tone. It wasn't, you know, it was still for kids, but it was geared maybe to an older audience.
This was sort of
audience.
In the wake of, like, anime getting bigger in the United States.
Yeah, totally, yeah. Absolutely. And I didn't really get into that, you know, I think for various reasons. One, I think I was not really, well, the thing is, I think it still came on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was no longer getting up for shows on Saturdays.
It's hard to go back to that. It's hard to go back to that well, you know?
Yeah, I think that was the other thing, you know. It didn't jive with me, you know. Mm-hmm. I really liked the original cartoon. And
yeah.
So I didn't really follow that one. I know people loved it. And like I said, they eventually did a live action. It was really short-lived. I think they only did like one season where it was guys in suits, and they had a female turtle in this series named Venus de Milo.
No recollection of this.
Which I maybe saw one episode of. It was pretty bad. And then they kind of went quiet again, you know. And now
they're just hibernating their shells.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's honestly an easy hit, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there's a new show coming out in September, and it's CG animated. Oh, there was, between the cartoon and this, there was another movie.
Yeah,
it was CG. Animated movie. It wasn't bad. It was all right. And it kind of fell into continuity with the previous movies because there were a few nods in that movie to the live-action movies.
The live-action ones? Oh, I didn't recognize that.
But this new show, it looks promising to me. It seems to have a similar spirit as the cartoon, the original cartoon, sort of fun, but looks much more action-packed, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It does have sort of anime trappings to it.
Mm-hmm.
The weirdest thing, in my opinion, is that the guy who voiced Raphael, Rob Paulsen, I think is his name, in the cartoon from the 80s, is voicing Donatello in this one.
Huh.
And from what I've seen in clips and stuff, he hasn't really modified the voice at all. I mean, it's basically Raphael,
so it's like Raphael's
coming
voice
out of Donatello's voice.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Mouth. It's really interesting. And then the Sean Astin is actually playing Raphael.
Oh.
Jason Biggs is Leonardo.
Wow.
And then a guy who's done a lot of other voice work is Michelangelo. But it's a really interesting collection of voice actors. But it looks good. I think it looks kind of cool. So I'll probably check that out. Yo, it's the Green Machine. Gonna rock the town without being seen. Have you ever seen a turtle get down? Slamming and jamming to the new swing sound. Yeah, everybody let's move. Vanilla is ill with the new jack groove. Gonna rock and roll the place with the power of the Ninja Turtle face. Iceman, you know I'm not playing. Devastate to show what the turtles are saying. Ninja, ninja, rap. Ninja, ninja, rap. Ninja. we should talk about the music. There's a lot of music around the Turtles. You know? Let's first forget the fact that they were a band.
Right. We've discussed that.
Which we've talked about. Yeah. a great band. But we've gotten into that. I can't believe I said that. They were a band. But there's, first of all, the theme song to Ninja Turtles mm-hmm. is so good. And I argue that it's still very good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like...
catchy.
You know... All right, it's not punk rock. I want it to be. But there's some thrash guitar in there.
Uh-huh.
And I think that set me on a course, you know,
mm-hmm.
to later
that
discover.
Up-tempo,
yeah. So then first we can just say theme song. Great. Great. 5 stars. The music that came out with the movies.
Uh-huh.
A cut above. there's some great raps. There's a rap on the first movie
mm-hmm.
called Turtle Power. That is a great rap.
Mm-hmm.
In that rap, they go through and they name all the turtles and sort of what they're all about. And they get to Raphael and they go, Raphael, he's the leader of the group. And I'm like, these guys didn't watch the movie. They didn't see the cartoon. They are making this up. Or somebody told them incorrectly. but that's perhaps not the most famous rap associated with the Ninja Turtles. I think what?
A friend of mine went to see a show in college,
mm-hmm.
and this is well past the prime of the performer in question, Vanilla Ice. And everyone in the room was chanting for Vanilla Ice to play Ninja Rap.
Yeah.
And he didn't do it.
Wow.
Because he's a jerk.
Yeah. Proof.
Yeah.
If you needed any proof.
Proof positive.
There you go.
Cool as ice, but a jerk.
That was a confluence of two pop culture juggernauts.
Yeah.
Ninja Rap. By Vanilla Ice, featured in the second movie, Secret of the Ooze. Not only is the song on the soundtrack, but it is performed in the film.
Yes.
By
at the
Vanilla
climax.
Ice. Yeah, yeah. Right before they
pivotal
fight
moment.
Super Shredder.
I mean, it's basically right up there with like the battle for Endor and the...
First they fight to the song.
Uh-huh.
And then they dance to the song once they've won the fight.
Have you ever seen that interview with Vanilla Ice?
I don't know that
talking,
I have.
It's like a behind the scenes
thing. Oh, wait, I think I have.
And he's like, there was like, you know, it's for kids, which is like me. So,
like
so
him.
Make it cool. So I did. Made it ice.
He made it ice. That's what they wanted.
Yeah.
Hey. Oh, man. They released the theme song for the new show.
Oh yeah.
And it has like some nods to the original song.
Hmm.
But it brings it has a rap. It's a rap again. At some point someone decided that the correct music genre for the Turtles was rap.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's cuz it's street, you know, it's urban.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Suburban. I'm trying to think of the Turtles themselves. What do you think? I mean, they're they are each distinct personalities, so they mm-hmm. probably all wouldn't like the same music. I mean, you have to assume Michelangelo is into surf rock and
right.
Probably punk, I would guess.
I would think that Raphael is probably into punk.
See, I think if anything, Raphael's the candidate for rap or... Maybe metal.
Maybe.
Okay, how about this? Raph is probably into hardcore punk.
Yeah, okay.
Metal, rap.
Right.
Mikey is probably into surf rock.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Chili Peppers. Yeah, that's probably, yeah. Pop punk.
Yeah.
Donatello. He's probably into indie.
I could see that. Yeah.
You know,
he likes really intricate,
brainy,
things.
Brainy music. He loves Radiohead, I bet. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like experimental, really,
right.
really,
right.
you know, sort of unexpected kind of stuff. Leonardo, he's tough to nail down, I think. Mm-hmm.
I think he would appreciate like Beck.
Huh.
You know,
he would appreciate anyone who is very
studious.
Yes, and someone who attempts to be a sort of perfect at their craft,
mm-hmm.
right?
And he's a little bit pompous, mm-hmm. so maybe he likes the Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh, I think you're right.
You know?
I think he would
see him
like
being a Billy Corgan
yes,
kind of guy.
Yes, you know, yeah. and a lot of bands like that,
mm-hmm.
sort of that alternative.
We're gonna change the world with this album.
Yes.
Yeah.
Angels and Airwaves.
Not to name names.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. He totally would be into that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about, and this is where I started, the consumerism, right?
Mm-hmm.
The marketing to kids in a way that I think, and I have no real gauge for this, but in a way that I think hadn't really been done, and in that the breadth of mm-hmm. availability, the that you could get practically anything with them on it. And you know, it's funny looking at that now. I think that, you know, if there were an explosion like that today,
mm-hmm.
right, some new property comes along and explodes like that, I would probably be annoyed with it. You know,
because you're seeing it everywhere, or
yeah, maybe yeah. I don't know. It's funny because I embraced it, I loved it as a kid, you know, mm-hmm. and you know, I look at that now as like really just cashing in on kids, you know,
mm-hmm.
in a sort of I don't know, flagrantly capitalistic way. You know, it's so unfair to the parents in a way to put this kind of stuff, you know, in the market.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
where they're going to be exposed to it.
Yeah.
Where the kids are going to be exposed to it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting that it really is a conflict for me now to think back on that.
There was some sort of decision. I don't know if it was like a Supreme Court decision or what, but there was some sort of United States legal act that
yeah.
went into play in the early 80s. I'll see if I can find it. But it essentially, prior to this bill or whatever being passed, it actually was illegal to create a show
mm-hmm.
as a promotional vehicle for selling toys or selling things to kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I think back on that now and I'm like, well, that seems reasonable to me. You
yeah.
know? Like that, I don't know that I'm necessarily opposed to that
right.
idea that it should, you know, I feel like it is kind of crass. But then you look at what came out of the fact that they were able to go beyond that when that broke and people were able to do whatever they wanted with
yeah.
cartoons. That's when you had Masters of the Universe, G.I. Joe,
Transformers,
Voltron, all of these things come out
yeah.
after that. And these are the things that are basically like the glue, the
yeah.
communal glue of our
generation.
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, these are our reference points, you
yeah.
know, for better or for worse.
And it is, you know, it's funny because it is somewhat troubling.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it unsettles me to some degree that our generation has this vocabulary seated
mm-hmm.
in that capitalism,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I don't know that there's something, anything wrong with it or not, but it just feels like, I suppose, you know, you want to believe that the things that you held dear as a kid, mm-hmm. as a generation, have substance.
Yeah.
You know, you look at previous generations and sort of the things that they came up with, whether it be, you know, protest or, mm-hmm. You know, free love or, mm-hmm. You know, fighting a war, right? Things that people would say matter, right?
Uh-huh.
And then you look at what we have, and we grew up in the 80s and the 90s, which were, you know, relatively free of those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And we're really embracing this American ideal of capitalism, the free market, and, mm-hmm. you know. And so those are our kind of, like you said, that's the glue. Like
that's it. Yeah, that's what we...
Pop culture is such a huge thing for us because it's what we came up
with. It's what we had. Yeah, it's sort of, that was what made up our days.
And
you know?
It absolutely is. Like every conversation you have with someone in our generation devolves into a discussion around these things we remember, you know, as kids. Look at us. Well, it's getting really meta now, but our podcast is proof, you know, but
this is born out of those discussions.
Absolutely. Yeah. So yeah, for better or worse, like that's, you know, the Ninja Turtles were a huge part of that
mm-hmm.
idea, you know, that pervasiveness of a property, you know, mm-hmm. in society, in the society of children, of kids, you know, mm-hmm. and that common language that we all had with each other. But you know what maybe is sort of the silver lining to that is that those characters, the Ninja Turtles, were good role models. They were mm-hmm. at least positive, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, they, you know, there was violence in the show, but it was mostly comedic. And it obviously didn't really tackle, like, big subjects or anything like that, mm-hmm. but they were good guys fighting the good fight.
They were loyal.
They were loyal. They were family.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's laudable, you know, and that is the thing that became a huge thing, right? That it isn't something that's negative. And so, you know, so much of the stuff that comes out today, not that it's necessarily negative, but it's very... People are a kind of sneer at positiveness or like mm-hmm. happiness.
Yeah.
You know, people don't really enjoy that as much anymore. And they kind of want a gritty or a real or.
They want an anti-hero.
Yeah. And that's just the way it is these days. And I don't think there's anything necessarily bad about it. But it's nice that this was very positive at the time, and it was about having fun and feeling good and, you know, all that stuff. I think that's good.
Yeah.
Are we forgetting anything? I mean, I honestly feel like I haven't really effectively talked about them. You know, we can't talk about them forever. I can, but we probably shouldn't.
Put this in the archive before he tries.
Okay.
Go ninja, go, go ninja, go ninja, go, go ninja, go ninja, go, 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 go.